We're going to consider the theme of justified by faith in Christ. Justified by faith in Christ. It's actually just a phrase straight out of verse 16 here in Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to begin our reading tonight, though, back in verse 11. Galatians 2, verse 11, and read through our passage, verse 16. Let's give our careful hearing again to the reading of God's Word. Paul writes, "But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, 'If you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified.'" Please bow with me briefly in prayer. Our Father, we pray that tonight, as you have offered to lead us and guide us and instruct us in the way, that we would willingly take you up on that offer tonight and sit submitted to your word this evening. May we not be like brute beasts who need a bit in their mouth to turn them every which way, but may we have truly an open heart and ears to hear your word tonight, that as we hear it preached, we might hear you speaking to us, even in our own hearts. And what you call us to tonight, O God, give us the strength to rise up and obey you. Lord, we pray that you might glorify yourself, that you would glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and exalt him and the good news about him tonight in our midst. We pray again that you might grant us of your Spirit, that he would illuminate his own word tonight so that we can understand it, that we could receive it with joy, we could store it up in our hearts, and it would affect our lives. Father, we pray these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this evening, especially the larger context, which I just read for us beginning in verse 11, records one of the most shocking events that ever happened in the history of the Christian church. What we have here recorded for us is two apostles. This is the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. That's who Cephas is. He went by Peter at times. We have Peter and Paul standing toe-to-toe publicly in a heated confrontation over what at first glance seems to be a matter of eating. But upon closer examination, this is much more than an issue of table manners or who we have dinner with. But rather, what is at stake here is nothing less than, as you notice Paul says there in verse 14, nothing less than the truth of the gospel. Now, while it is the case that there is more to be said and there is more to being saved than just this one part being justified by faith. In other words, there's also the ongoing sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. There's also that beautiful truth and legal exchange that happens when we are adopted into the family of God. We all look forward to, once we've been in Christ, to our future resurrection and our future glorification. And so there's much more to being saved than merely justification by faith. But while that's the fact, it is clear that to Paul, notice, justification by faith in Christ was the core matter that defined the truth of the gospel. That was the kernel there in the gospel that he said was at risk because of Peter's behavior. He goes on to say here, and notice particularly in our verse 16, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law, because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Notice three times in one verse, Paul mentions justification, and each time it is said to be by faith alone and not by the works of the law. One verse, three times, over and over again. Beautiful, inspired redundancy. Telling us about justification that it is by faith alone. It is not by works of the law. And so this matter of justification by faith in Christ is extremely important to Paul. It is the truth of the gospel, in other words, good news. That's all gospel means. Gospel means good news. It is the good news of the Christian faith. And therefore, we need to understand two important matters this evening as we briefly look at this. And if you're filling in the blanks, those will be the two points that we'll consider tonight. The first is we need to know what is justification. And secondly, we need to know, then, what is faith? Let's consider first, what is justification? Our catechism clearly spells out, and hear me right, our catechism clearly spells out what the Bible says about justification in the 33rd question. And I have that there if you have your bulletin outline. It might be easier to look there and follow along as I read it, but I'll try to read clearly if you don't have that right in front of you. Our 33rd question of the shorter catechism says, justification is an act of God's free grace whereby or wherein he pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in his sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. In other words, justification is a legal matter. Justification is a legal matter. It is a courtroom term describing the verdict that the judge comes to in regard to your innocence or in regard to your guilt in light of the law. More particularly, when we talk about justification in terms of our salvation. So, first off, Christianity doesn't have a monopoly on the term justice, basically, is what we're talking about, or to be justified. That's a legal term that courts use. But when we talk about justification in relation to salvation, there is an assumption in the Bible, and that assumption is that you come into the court guilty of breaking the law. It is not, there's not some drama going on here of whether or not you really did it. You're not coming in trying to plead innocent. When we talk about justification biblically and as a matter of salvation, the assumption in the Bible is you are already guilty. That's the assumption. You have broken God's law. You are a sinner before God. And so as question 33 states, if you have that there in front of you still, justification must be, because of that assumption, because you are guilty, justification must be an act of God's free grace. It cannot be an issue of justice, or else you will not be justified. Justification, because you are a sinner, has to be an act of His free grace. That is, we are actually guilty, and we are not actually worthy to be justified. And so when one is justified, it must be an act of God's free grace because we do not deserve it. In fact, this is what Paul is alluding to throughout the passage when he speaks in terms of you, referring to Peter, and we, referring to the two of them, or to the Jews in general. And the point that Paul is making, I want you to see that there in verse 15. The point that Paul is making is not that he and Peter or the Jews are not sinners like the rest of the Gentiles, but rather the point is that even though they were born Jews, they were part of the covenant people of God, they weren't born Gentile sinners, they themselves were also justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. That's his point. His point is even we had to be justified by faith. You know, among other Jewish people, we have this view of the Gentiles. Well, they maybe needed to be justified by faith because they're sinners. And Paul is saying here, I think he's actually still talking. Scholars debate whether he's still in conversation here with Peter, telling us what he said to Peter. I think he still is. And he's saying, look, we know these things because we were justified by faith and not by the works of the law. And we're Jews. So in one very real sense, the one thing that initially qualifies you for justification in the biblical sense, the one thing that qualifies you for justification is not whether or not you are a Jew or a Gentile, not whether or not you were born into a godly family or an ungodly family. In fact, it is not even whether or not you have lived a good life or you've lived a bad life. The one thing that qualifies you as a candidate for justification is that you are a sinner. It's the only way you're going to be justified, first off, is if you need it. If you are a sinner, you must have broken God's law. You have to be ungodly. You must need a Savior. And therefore, echoing the teaching of the Bible, and if you still have that outline in front of you there, the Catechism in question 33 goes on to say that the way that we come to be justified in the court of heaven is that God graciously, and here it is, He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight because of the righteousness or for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. And so this standing in the court of heaven that we are not guilty and that we are justified in the eyes of the law of God is something that comes from Jesus Christ and is received by faith alone, which then brings us to ask, as our 86th question does, and that is the subject for tonight. It brings us to ask then, well, if it is by faith then that we receive this, then what is faith? What is faith? Or better, look at question 86. I have that there in your outline too. What is faith in Jesus Christ? And the answer is, faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon Him alone for salvation as He is offered to us in the gospel. Like justification, notice faith is also something that flows from God's grace, which is one reason that we always talk about salvation being entirely by grace alone. In other words, each part of salvation, whether it is God's giving it to us or whether it is our receiving of it, is all a work of His grace. Even the faith by which we receive it is a gift from Him. But what exactly is faith? Our catechism uses two words to describe faith, and then our text uses yet one more word. The catechism uses the words, notice, receiving, and if you're filling in those blanks, those are, here they are, receiving and resting. Uses the terms receiving and resting to describe faith. And Paul uses the word in our passage, Paul uses the word believing. Believing. Each of these words brings out something important about faith that helps us understand what it is and what it is not. And let's begin first by considering receiving. Receiving, and hear this, receiving speaks of the nature of faith as an instrument. What does that mean? It's an instrument through which we are justified. In other words, a cup is an instrument that you use to get liquid into your mouth. A pen is used by, let's say, a poet to get his poetry onto the paper. A radio is the instrument that is used to convey the music that you want to listen to. Now here in all of this, think about this. The instrument is not the thing that actually does anything formally for you. In other words, the cup doesn't quench your thirst. The pen by itself doesn't just write poetry. The box of plastic and wires does not put notes together and form a song. It is simply the conduit through which you receive those good things. It's the instrument through which the via, it comes through the good stuff that you desire. That's what faith is. It's exactly the same with faith. Faith doesn't save you. Faith has never saved anybody. Faith is nothing, actually. Faith only has substance in the object in which it rests. Faith by itself isn't even sensical until you say faith in what? What do you have faith in? Jesus Christ and His righteousness alone is what saves you. But faith is the means by which we receive that righteousness. In other words, God comes and offers that righteousness to us in the gospel. He says, here is absolutely perfect righteousness. It is yours for the taking. And faith simply receives it. Faith recognizes, I'm not righteous in myself, and if God's standard is perfection, then I better take this gift that's being given to me right now. I'll receive this gift of righteousness. Salvation is the gift. Faith is the hand that receives it. So receiving. Second word that's used here that helps us is resting. Resting speaks, and hear this out, resting speaks to the passivity of faith. Resting speaks to the passive nature of faith, and it makes it clear. It's used so it makes it very clear that we understand that faith is not a work. It's not something that we do. In the next chapter, if we were to have more time tonight, we could look at chapter 3, and Paul talks about the hearing of faith. Paul says, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or through the hearing of faith? I was going to ask you all, when was the last time you were trying to sleep and people were making noise? But I don't have to ask you. This was my experience this afternoon with my loud kids. we were trying to sleep and the kids were making noise. I wasn't trying to hear. Hearing is what happens if you have ears that work. You actually have to work to not hear. You have to put out effort to plug your ears so that they don't hear. Paul talks about the hearing of faith because it is something that happens. You are passive in it. It is not a work that you do. Indeed, resting is such a beautiful picture because when someone is at rest, it implies that they are no longer working. The work has ceased and they are now in a state of not working. When you're resting, you are explicitly not working. It's like collapsing at the end of a long run. I mean, if you've ever run something, a long run before, and at the end of that race, you get to the end and you just kind of collapse and sit down and fall down. That doesn't take effort. That takes the cessation of effort. You quit holding yourself up any longer and you just collapse. You're done. You rest. And that is what is being conveyed here. Faith in Christ is the cessation of effort and the end of our works. In other words, we stop trying to win God's favor by our good works, and we simply rest in the finished work of Christ alone. That is what faith is. It is receiving Christ as He is offered to us and resting upon Him as the one we are trusting in to meet all God's demands in the law. And all of this is captured by Paul in our text by the word believe or believed. So believing. The way that we get saved is that we hear about how Jesus has died for the forgiveness of sins. We hear how God will count Jesus' obedience and righteousness in our place. And we believe that offer. We believe that good news. It's good news that can be met with only one of two kinds of a response. You hear that message that, hey, God will forgive all of your sins and count you righteous in His sight by trusting in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. There's only two responses. You either believe that or you don't believe it. And since it's a matter of life and death, in fact, it's a matter of eternal life and eternal death, this believing means that you are trusting in Jesus to secure your eternal salvation. This is not just choosing your religion here. This is trust and belief at the most ultimate level, because your life absolutely depends on it. It would be like if you're standing at the edge of a cliff and you have a choice. You've got a herd of buffalo running at you, and you can turn around and you can decide, I'm going to face them, and I'm going to run at them as hard as I can. I'm going to use all my quickness and dexterity and my moves, and I'm going to try to outsmart them. Or someone comes by with some kind of hovering craft and says, here, let me take you and take you away to safety. Well, you'd have to trust that person that they're going to really take you and get you to safety. You either believe them and you get on board with them, or you don't believe them and you turn around and you face that herd coming at you. That's what believing is all about. We're not talking here a mere assent to certain truths about Jesus. The devil believes there was a guy named Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago that died on a cross. We're not talking about that. That's not saving faith. That's not believing upon Jesus, believing in him. Christian faith says, I am trusting entirely in Jesus to be my salvation, or else I know that I will be in hell one day. My entire destiny, my entire life is entrusted to Christ. I'm relying upon him. I'm relying upon his person. I'm relying upon his work for my eternal well-being. You see, the gospel, or the good news, is this. Despite how bad you have been, in fact, despite how bad you are right now, there is a salvation for you in Christ. You do not need to. In fact, the biblical message over and over again is you cannot. You don't need to, but the greater thing is, the more important, you can't. You cannot clean yourself up and make yourself worthy and get yourself right with God. It has nothing to do with the Christian faith. You can only receive a gift being offered to you. You can only believe the message. You can only rest upon Christ and his righteousness alone for salvation as he's offered in the gospel to you. If you have been faking it, or if you've never understood the gospel to be that, a free offer in Jesus Christ, I implore you tonight, this is the time for salvation. Do not mess around with your soul. You need to give yourself entirely to the Lord tonight. Take that gift. You can't do anything for it. You can only receive it. And that's what faith is. And if you say, I am that sinner, I need that salvation, well, Christ is being offered to you tonight. Take it. It's free. And he will come and he will change your life. He will then clean you. He will then make you beautiful in God's sight. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the gospel. We are humbled by it. We realize that to accept it, we pretty much give up who we are and what we think we have accomplished or what we can accomplish. And we lose ourselves and identify with Christ. But God, those of us who know our own sin and the mess we've made of our lives, this is a wonderful thing. That we can decrease and that Christ can increase. Father, may it be the prayer of everyone in this room. May it be the proclamation of everyone here tonight that we rise up and say, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Father, we pray that your Spirit would work mightily tonight, that he would bring new life to those who have lived in darkness. And we plead with you that you do a gracious work among us tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.